The proper use of the church building. If a church is fortunate enough to own its own building or meeting place, then it should be used for the work of the church as the Lord defines in Scripture. This property is not a shrine that is to be worshiped, and it's not a community center for secular or social activities. All of this becomes clear when we understand the biblical meaning of the church and when we understand the biblical mission of the church. The church is to save souls and bring everyone united into Christ. The Greek word ekklesia means those who are called out or set aside or set apart from others. So it is a group, an assembly, a congregation, or a church. In Greek, this is not a religious word, but can be applied to any number of people that are set apart from others. This Greek term meant originally any public assembly of citizens summoned by a herald, and it passed into the biblical usage to designate assemblies, whether secular or religious. And that comes from Moulton and Milligan in their vocabulary of the Greek and the Greek Testament. In Acts chapter 7, verse 38, it speaks of the church in the wilderness, referring to the Jews who left Egypt and followed Moses. This constituted a group or nation of people, ecclesia. The people of Ephesus who united to protest Paul's preaching were a riotous mob, but the Greek term ecclesia is used to describe that mob, Acts 19, verse 32. When the town clerk of Ephesus quieted the rioting people, he said disputes should be settled in a lawful assembly, ecclesia, Acts chapter 19. This refers to a government council or legislature that is a group of people set apart for a special purpose. The Church of Christ denotes souls called out of sin, called to Christ, set apart unto Christ, united with Christ, saved in Christ, assembled or congregated under the authority of Christ. That meaning may be conveyed by translating ecclesia as group, assembly, congregation, church, or any similar term. But the key is that Christ gathers these people. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, "I will build my church." This was a promise that he would call, gather, and unite in himself all men who believe and obey the gospel. So we refer to the church as the universal body of the saved in Christ. Saved souls are the units that make up this one universal body of believers called the church. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. Christ ordained that the saved in each community or locality, should band together to worship and serve him, which is why we read in the Bible of churches meeting in places like Jerusalem, Antioch, Ephesus, Colossae, and many other places. We read about these throughout the book of Acts, the book of Revelation, and the book of Colossians. All of these believers who met together to worship and serve him from place to place were called the churches which were in Christ, or simply the churches of Christ. Galatians 1:22, Romans 16:16. And so we refer to the church in the local sense as the body of the saved in Christ, meeting in a particular place. We commonly use the word church when referring to the ecclesia of Christ. The English dictionary shows that church is used in our language to refer to the company of all Christians regarded as a mystical spiritual body or a congregation. It also shows that it can refer to a building for public, especially Christian worship, according to the American Heritage Dictionary. The context of words in which any specific place will settle the actual meaning. In the Bible, the meaning is never a physical building, but the souls that were united to Christ in fellowship with God. And yet in English grammar, it is proper to refer to the building where a group assembles by using a term descriptive of that group. So, where a school meets may be called a school, but the actual school is the people, not the building. Where a legislature meets may be called a legislature, but the actual legislature is the people, not the building. A certain Roman centurion befriended the Jews. The text says in Luke 7 and verse 5, "For he loved our nation, and he has built us a synagogue." Where the church meets may be called a church, but the actual church is the people, not the building. This function of grammar can be explained without compromising the meaning of school, legislature, synagogue, or church, the word ecclesia. If the local church grows in number beyond the limits of a home, it may provide a church building or a meeting place to accommodate its meetings. This building should not be venerated as a shrine because it is nothing more or nothing less than a physical structure, a physical meeting place for the people who have been saved by Christ. Paul says Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5 and verse 23. The church is purchased with his blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. So both the universal church and the local church are gathered together by his love, his saving power, and his authority in all things. And as God's holy people, we worship him alone and not physical things. Now, Christ didn't shed his blood to save the church building, and we don't worship it in any sense. No man can perform a ritual to transform this physical building into a sanctuary, a cathedral, or a basilica worthy of our reverence. So what is the proper use of this building where Christians meet? That question can't be answered until we understand the mission of the church. So the mission of the church is that we must learn from Scripture what that mission or work of the local church is. The souls that are set apart to serve Christ. Christ is the head of the church and has all authority to define its nature and function. Matthew 28 and verse 18, Ephesians 5 and verse 23. His instruction or pattern for conducting the affairs of the church are given in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 3 verses 14 and 15. The New Testament reveals that the work or mission of the church is threefold. It focuses on the spiritual needs of man. And this threefold mission is evangelism, worship of God which edifies the saints, and benevolence of needy saints. Now when God blesses us with money, it's in our hand and under our own power to use for good purposes. Acts 5 and verse 4 and Ephesians 4 and verse 28. When the church takes a collection up every Lord's Day, that money is no longer under our personal control, but is under the special authority of Christ, to be used exclusively for the work of the church. Recreation, social meals, parties, contests, ball teams, bowling leagues, and other social activities are not the work of the church. His will and not ours must be done because he is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. It is his body, his church, not ours. So, the church is under the authority of Christ and can plan and provide activities of evangelism, worship, and benevolence, but not social activities. To fulfill this work, the church can provide a meeting place, and that meeting place facilitates only the work of the church under the authority of Christ, not social activities. The church has no authority from Christ to build and maintain kitchens to prepare social meals, activity rooms for games and parties, or such facilities as ball fields, bowling lanes, tennis courts, the list goes on. Using euphemisms such as fellowship halls, a multi-purpose building or rooms, or family life center doesn't provide a scriptural basis for the church in conducting social and recreational programs. The New Testament clearly distinguishes individual action and local church action. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 16, the work done by each individual providing the needs of widows in the family is not considered the work of the church. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 17 through 34, makes the same distinction between individual action and the local church action. This passage teaches that when the church assembles to function under the authority of Christ, it will provide the Lord's Supper. But what about the church planning and providing social meals? Paul says in that passage in the last verse, if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And this doesn't mean we can eat only in a domicile, but not under a tree, at a restaurant, a park, or in a community center. But it means planning and providing social meals is the role of the home and not the church. When the church ignores this instruction and provides such activities as this, it doesn't please the Lord, but comes under condemnation. Christians on an individual basis can get together to eat and enjoy each other's company in their homes or other places like the early saints did. Daily meetings were held there in their homes for worship and instruction for a period of time. But these saints also opened their homes to extend hospitality to one another, Acts 2 and verse 46. And yes, social gatherings, gatherings in our homes and at other places are enjoyable and encouraging. But we must not burden the church with providing social functions and recreational facilities. Paul says, let not the church be charged. So when we talk about the proper use of the church building, it's clear that the church building is not a shrine to be worshiped or venerated in any way. It simply provides a place for Christians to meet in fulfilling the mission of the church. Our mission is to fulfill the spiritual work of spreading the gospel and worshiping our Lord. Now, secular activities and social activities belong in the realm of individual action and not the local church. The church building is provided by the church for the work of the church under Christ, who is the head of the church. Nothing more, nothing less. There is no authority from Christ for the church to plan and conduct secular and social activities in the church building. And such activities belong in the realm of individual responsibility. So let me close this by saying, let the church be the church, and let the church building be the church building. Now, I want to thank you for joining me this morning. If you have any questions or disagree with this lesson, as I've said in the past, bring your Bible and bring scripture to prove your point. I'll be glad to sit down with anyone. If you'd like to meet with us, we'll meet this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible study, worship at 10 a.m., and again this evening at 5 p.m. for another period of worship. And we'll also have a midweek Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. If you didn't catch part of this lesson, you can go online to our website, churchateastside.com, and listen to this radio program again. There are other lessons that you can go there and listen to, past radio lessons. There are sermons that you can go to and read and listen to on there. They're all audio. And also you can read bulletin articles that are there for your viewing and for your reading. Again, I want to thank you for being with me this morning. I look forward to being with you again next Sunday morning. And I pray that if you have any questions, you will not hesitate to ask me. You look me up on Facebook and send me a private message there if you'd like to. Or look me up on the Church of Christ at Eastside Facebook page as well. Again, thank you for being with me today.